You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. 9 wins in a row for your New Orleans Pelicans as they climb into the fourth seed. It's the Wednesday edition here. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, editor of LockedOnPelicans.com, credential member of the media, and I'm kind of confused as I do this intro because I'm not following the normal script that my brain is so used to that I forget everything I'm supposed to say. Yes, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm that excited that I'm so thrown off as the Pelicans get a 121-116 win over the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm going to recap this game for you all. There's a lot that went on in this one. A lot of good, some very bad, some potential injuries, but at the end of the day, this team got a win, and there was way more good than bad in the fourth quarter and some great moves by head coach Alvin Gentry and some great play from key guys on this team. This was a big win for the Pels because it does factor into playoff tiebreakers. The second segment, we're going to break those down for you. Who have the Pelicans got left on their schedule? What are going to be the biggest games coming up as your Pelicans are now fourth in the Western Conference? Top four, home court advantage as of today in the first round of the playoffs. And then in the final segment, we'll preview the Pelicans tonight as they take on the Sacramento Kings on the second night of a back-to-back up in Sacramento. Kings have beat the Pels twice so far this year. Not ideal final game of the season between these two teams. We'll preview that for you and see if the Pelicans can get their 10th straight victory. So let's just dive right on into it because this game, a 121-116 win for the Pels, is a lot closer than it really should have been in a game the Pelicans had a 20-point lead in at one point in the second half. So not ideal to see. But all things considered, given that Anthony Davis left the game in the first half with an injury after taking a shot to the ribs from DeAndre Jordan, not an intentional thing, just some incidental contact that put him in quite a considerable amount of pain, you kind of just assume this could be the end for the Pels' winning streak here. Davis went to the locker room, as I said, in obvious pain. Actually looked like he threw up walking through the tunnel to the locker room with team trainers. Definitely not a good thing and very scary if you were a Pelicans fan. Up until that point, this was a close game. The Pelicans and Clippers, neither of them playing much defense as the Clippers were driving and scoring at the rim kind of at will, led by Montrezl Harrell off the bench, who was just abusing Cheick Diallo. Harrell finished with 26 points on the night. This is a bit of a concern for the Pelicans going forward. We're seeing opponents score a lot of points in the paint. That also tends to be from the teams playing with higher pace because the Pelicans are playing with higher pace. They're taking a lot of shots. And they miss some shots. Teams get out in transition, and in transition, you score points in the paint. But Montrezl Harrell was absolutely beasting down there en route to his 26 points. But the Pelicans, after the Anthony Davis injury, are showing this mental fortitude that we have not seen from them in years past. They would have folded. We've talked about it in past seasons. Whenever Anthony Davis has left a game this year, they kind of step up and fill the void in his absence. That's the type of mentality that a playoff team needs to have, and they're showing it. They were led by, at that point, Drew Holiday and Nikola Mirotic, who started to get going. Holiday really took over, and the Pelicans closed out the second quarter with 32 total points compared to just 25 for the Clippers, giving them 67 points in the first half compared to just 52 for the Clippers. Exactly the type of mentality you want to see from this team. Anthony Davis came back for the second half, checking back into the game as I'm still kind of losing my voice there if you can hear it breaking. Played all 12 minutes in the third quarter and looked very healthy. 19 points from the Pelicans franchise player in that frame. He was 4 out of 5 from 3-point range. Ties his career high of 4 threes made in a game in just one quarter. You could see he didn't really want to go inside. Those ribs might have been bothering him a little bit. He looked to try and get his outside shot going, and it was. He was 7 for 12 in that quarter alone. Only one free throw attempt, so if you look at his shot chart, you'll see. Wasn't trying to score inside and bang bodies down low. But the Clippers started to end that quarter on a run, and they got it kind of close-ish. They kept that quarter close before really going on their run in the fourth that made this one a nail-biter until the end. The Pels did manage to kind of gut it out due to some key play by different players out there. Drew Holiday played outstanding defense, and on the final possession where the Clippers could have tied or won the game, he stripped the ball away, iced the game that way, got the Pelicans the win with his defense. On the night, Holiday finished with 19 points and 17 assists. That's a career high from him. Anthony Davis finished with 41 on the night. Nikola Mirotic off the bench with 13 points. Rajon Rondo chipped in 13 points, 9 assists as well. You kind of just saw guys stepping up, doing their thing. Each one more quieter game, 10 points from him. But the Pelicans managed to move on, get their ninth straight win, go up to fourth in the Western Conference. Like we said, it was a good win for the Pelicans, 9 in a row, 4th in the Western Conference. It feels good and fun to say that, but there were some issues in this game, particularly the bench. Lineups without Anthony Davis or Drew Holiday in there really got burned, and Anthony Davis, when he needed some rest in the fourth quarter, was only able to sit for 2 minutes because that bench mob unit was not getting it done, and the Clippers outscored them tremendously, giving you some concern about whether this Pelicans team can keep up this level of play. And also, when rest becomes really important at the end, middle to end of this month, when they had a ton of games and a ton of days, there's going to be a serious concern. Ian Clark was minus 19 on the night, Darius Miller minus 16, Mirotic minus 10. Not what you want to see from these guys. Diallo was minus 5 in 5.5 minutes of play and was just horrible on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to touch on him briefly in something for you guys to check out, though, in just a moment. But Alvin Gentry got these rotations right, and he's not been necessarily following a set plan here on when he pulls guys and when he puts guys in. He's kind of feeling the game out, realizing sometimes this bench unit is working, sometimes they're not. He subbed out those guys and got the Pelican starters in right back to kind of regain and take control of the fourth quarter. He's coaching really well. The flack we gave him early in the season was definitely justified, but we also got to give him credit when he is doing things right. He's doing that right now, and the decisions, more importantly, are working out, and coaches are judged on results. So before we talk tiebreakers, check Diallo. He's been playing better, though he struggled last night's game. But check out over at LockedOnPelicans.com. Alex Ferrari has an article up detailing the improvement that we've seen from him this year. How has he become that bench energy guy, that someone who's contributing for the Pelicans? Go to LockedOnPelicans.com, read the article, and find out. So with the victory last night, that puts the Pelicans in position to at least tie the Clippers on the season. Against the team, they are 1-1 with one more game left to play against them, meaning New Orleans can't lose the tiebreaker against the Clippers. But in the Western Conference, with these teams being as close and as tight as they are in the standings, tiebreakers might be very important for this Pelicans team. And we've seen them in years past get in on tiebreakers over the Oklahoma City Thunder on that miracle Anthony Davis three that occurred during Mardi Gras a couple of seasons ago. So tiebreakers could be very important with the season kind of winding down. We got about 20 games or so left. We need to take a look at this because your fourth place, New Orleans Pelicans, might have that factor in heavily. So let's take a look at where the Pelicans stand against every team out there that's potentially going to be in the Western Conference playoffs. So you're looking at teams 3 through 10. So New Orleans against Denver has actually already lost the season series. They are 1-2 against Denver, not a chance, no more games left to play. So they've lost that. The other series that they've lost is versus Minnesota, where the Pelicans have lost 4 times to the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves, who seem to be struggling right now and might fall out of the Western Conference playoff race altogether. They're currently sitting at 6th, about a game behind the Pelicans, 2 in the loss column, though they have a game up on them. So it's about, I think it's just a 1-game difference there, but they're not playing some great ball, and they're going to be fighting for that 7th or 8th seed if they get in at all. So that's kind of key there if the Pelicans lose some games in the future, because both of those teams are kind of in the bottom half of the Western Conference standings right now. The Pelicans, with that victory against the Clippers last night, are 2-1 against them so far this year. The Pelicans have a game upcoming against them later on in the year. The Pelicans can't lose this tiebreaker, which is a good thing. So then you go to different tiebreakers. We don't need to get into that today. I want to make this kind of short, simple, and easy for y'all. They cannot lose the tiebreaker to the Clippers. So should they be tied, it's going to go to different things. That's a good thing for the Pelicans. They need to have everything going their way, and that's certainly going to help them. Moving on, though, to OKC. The Pelicans have actually won that season series. They beat them twice so far this year with one game left, meaning they cannot lose. You still don't want to lose that game, but the tiebreaker against OKC, the Pelicans have. Maybe we'll see a replay of a couple of years ago where the Pels got in on the playoffs because of the tiebreaker with OKC, because of that miracle Anthony Davis three-pointer. So it's a good thing for the team to have that just in case, because they're suddenly slipping too and not one of the hotter teams in the Western Conference. Portland is going to be a big one. That's going to be upcoming later in the season as well. The Pelicans are 2-1 against Portland right now with one game remaining. They can't lose the season series, but they can get another victory over this Portland team, which gives them the advantage. That Portland game may very well come down to counting as two or potentially three games. You get that win, you not only basically gain up a game, it's not basically, you do gain a game in the standings on them, but then the tiebreaker really helps you where all of a sudden it's essentially a two-game lead on them for winning one game. That game's March 27th here in New Orleans. That is going to be a massive one for the Pels, potentially for playoff seeding. That could be the difference between hosting a first-round playoff series or having home court advantage or not. It could be potentially who you play in the first round, if they play Portland or not, depending on how it shakes out. It's going to be a big game here in the Smoothie King Center on March 27th. Against the Spurs, the Pelicans right now hold a 2-0 lead on the season series, but there's two games left. Feel confident in that one, don't you guys? They've beaten them twice now, once and very handily in New Orleans. The other time, coming back from 17 down to beat the Spurs on the road. And the Spurs are slipping and look like they might be on the outside looking in. Two more games, though, you never know what's going to happen. You got to get those victories as well. And then finally, the Utah Jazz, a team that's given New Orleans trouble in the past. And right now, the Pelicans are 1-2 against them with one game left to play. So they can't win that tiebreaker. They can only lose it. But there's a chance that it goes to being even with 2-2. That's going to be a tough one. The Jazz have been playing really good basketball recently. They've won like something like 14 of 16. The best defense since Rudy Gobert has been back. Their offense has been okay. So in total, against the top 3 through 10 teams in the Western Conference, the Pelicans are 9-10 with 7 games remaining. Those 7 games potentially might count as 2 games for the Pels depending on what happens. Those 7 games are going to be the most important games of the season. At this point, every game's important, but those 7 are going to be by far the most important for the Pels, other than maybe that Oklahoma City game where the Pelicans already have the tiebreaker against that team. Don't forget, I host the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA. John Corrales, my co-host, couldn't make it due to some technical issues, so I went solo on the National NBA podcast today. Give it a listen over at Locked On NBA and subscribe to it as well. Just recap the association, what went on, the biggest stories around every single day. It's now 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, but make sure you at least listen to the Wednesday podcast. Come on, it's me. I'm on there, so make sure you subscribe. So it's still a game day here in the Crescent City, though I guess for the Crescent City, as the game's being played in Sacramento against the Kings, who the Pelicans are 1-2 against so far this year. The one win coming on the road against the Kings, with two bad home losses for the Pelicans where they've really played down to the level of the Kings and been upset twice in two early season games that could come back to haunt this Pelicans team a little bit. You know, this matchup seems different. I don't think anyone's really worried about the Pelicans playing down to the Kings. They seem to have a different mentality, a different mindset. They know kind of the standings and the race. And after last night's game, Jrue Holiday and Anthony Davis said they all went and looked at the scores around the league and looked at the playoff standings to kind of see where they are. They're hyper aware of what's going on right now, and you have to figure with that kind of hungry mentality that we're not going to be in for a letdown game. But you never know. The Pelicans are playing on the second night of a back-to-back. We've seen them stumble before, though it feels like that was years and years ago and with an entirely different team. And this franchise could just come out and be a little bit flat given the energy they expended to get that win over the Clippers after surrendering a 20-point lead. On paper, this shouldn't be hard for the Pels. The Kings are 20-44. They play with one of the slowest paces in the league. They have the second worst offense in the league and the second worst defense. The Pelicans, should they just impose their will on this franchise, and we've seen the Pelicans do that, dictate the level of play, play fast. I don't know if the Kings are going to have scoring to be able to keep up. But again, you never know, and we've seen some surprising games from opponents. Zach Randolph is still averaging 15 points per game on the year. Buddy Hield is shooting well from deep. He's shooting 42.2%. Bogdan Bogdanovic has played extremely well and has been kind of an energetic guy, and we can see the Pelicans' weakness on the wings at times, particularly against taller wings, which Bogdan is. It could be a problem for the team. This Kings team wants to kind of let it fly from deep and plays with kind of a bit of a reckless abandon. They're actually second in the league in three-point percentage, shooting 38.4%. They don't take a ton, but if you leave them open, they're going to make you pay for it, so you need to see the Pelicans run this team off the three-point line. Other than that, just go out, rebound, and do your job. Rebounding has been very key for the Pelicans over the past number of games, and the Kings aren't good at offensive rebounding, and they're not particularly great at defensive rebounding, so the Pelicans can have an advantage there. Okafor has been great in that regard. You got to expect he'll be starting again. Can kind of maybe help dictate control of the game early. If they can do that, the Pelicans should just cruise to a very easy victory, hopefully, and win their 10th straight, but you never know. These things do come up. Again, the Pels used a lot of energy last night. They could be tired. Anthony Davis is a bit banged up. He doesn't really want to look to score inside, or didn't in the second half of last night's game. If they force him to shoot mid-range jumpers, or he just settles for shooting mid-range jumpers, even though he's good at it, it could get them out of their rhythm. If he's not hitting from there, this team might struggle to score points at times. You know, the Kings do have guys who can kind of get into the paint a little bit and score that way, De'Aaron Fox in particular. We'll see what happens, but I'm still feeling pretty good about the Pelicans getting their 10th straight victory. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate the podcast on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from, all mobile versions of that as well. Enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully the Pelicans can get a win. Make sure you check out LockedOnPelicans.com for insight you're not getting anywhere else. Kill some time at work today and give it over a read over. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap the game.